And listen, once your guys get to cowboy status and you know they could stretch, they can advance, they can extinguish, they could search, they're badass on trauma calls, all their shit's done back at the firehouse, all the damn target solutions we make these guys do, and all that's done. And then you can let off the pedal a little bit, man. I mean, you got to read the room again.
Firehouse Vigilance presents The Weekly Scrap, a podcast dedicated to the never-ending fight against complacency.
Cooley Moore, Firehouse Vigilance, it is Weekly Scrap, number 196. Mike Salzano, second-generation firefighter, third-generation union officer, 24-year veteran of the fire service. He currently is with Fort Lauderdale Fire Department. Currently a battalion chief, he has been on tech rescue, hazmat team, South Florida Task Force 2, chief of training for the past 3.5 years, and most recently assigned as the assistant to the deputy chief of operations. Mike founded the Fort Lauderdale Fire Training Expo and is currently its overall coordinator. Over the last 12 years, he has been one of the lead engine company instructors at the Orlando Fire Conference, is an engine company instructor at FDTN. He is a dedicated husband to Jennifer and father to Juliana, Angelica, and Nicholas. It is my honor to have you on as the guest of Weekly Scrap number 196. Welcome, my brother, Mike Salzano.
What's up, man? What's up, everybody?
Dude, I'm excited. just talking and getting ready for it has been exciting. Is there anything I missed in the intro? Anything you would like to add?
You missed a lot, man. I mean, but I obviously didn't give it to you. I mean, stupid stuff like, you know, I was rated the in the top five best looking on the job.
Nice.
Probably one of the top five athletic on the job. In my hometown, Boca Raton, rated the best firefighter in the city, living here or working. Yeah, those are a couple of things you missed, man.
I love it. Dude,
Self-acclaimed.
I can already see the direction this is going to go. I already am absolutely loving it. Audience, please get your questions ready for Mike and myself. And people are already checking in. There we go. I'm trying to catch up. Go Sally from Chris Khanna.
Oh, good old Chris. What's up, brother?
Timothy Wood said, I am fifth generation. Brendan Quitter said, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of jokes that fly over my head as people throw stuff at you. So please understand. I'm hoping I'm reading in on some of them. Joe Battaglia said, bag of donuts here.
Yep. He's a mentor right there. Retired right fireman.
Oh, Brandon Quilter qualified and said third generation. Okay. Checking in from Indy from James Michalisco. Absolutely. Everybody's checking in. Get your questions ready. Get logged in. Rochester, New York, checking in from Timothy Wood. Mike Fitting. This might be the direction we're going. He said biggest POS, but we love him.
Yep.
So there we go. Yeah. So just to kind of set this tone. All right. All that being said, quick announcements. If you want to be a part of the Vigilantes, please go to firehousevigilance.com. Join up. $5 a month, $60 a year. You can do a monthly, you can do annual, whatever you want to do. But here's the coolest part. Tonight, the first time ever, and I talked to Mike about it earlier, first time we've ever done this, is after the scrap ends and we do the whole good night, have a good night, all that stuff, is we're having an after party. It's like the scrap after party. And the Vigilantes get to log in and hang out with the guest, if the guest so chooses, because it's voluntary, but and hear about their take on how his scrap was. So we're looking forward to that. It's the Vigilante after party. So hang out for that if you're a Vigilante afterwards. And if you're not, go be a part of it. Now, on to the sponsors. The OG sponsor of the scrap, of course, everybody knows, Kehose, man. I'm a huge fan. We use it at my department. I'm a huge fan of Kehose. The Hose Expert. Check them out on Facebook. And then there is the Affordable Drill Tower. Home of the Affordable Drill Tower and the Affordable Standpipe Prop. It's firefighter owned and operated. You can pump and roll using the Affordable Standpipe Prop. The Affordable Standpipe Prop fits through most classroom doorways for standpipe theory, and then you roll it out into the parking lot and you can pump to it. It comes with 6 standpipe valves that can be upgraded to PRVs or customized to whatever you have in your jurisdiction. Call Steve, 844-55-TOWER, or drop an email to info@affordabledrilltowers.com. And of course, I personally I love Flame Decon and Next Run. Two things that are very I'm very passionate about. Man, hey, after a fire, go wash your ass and get the carcinogens off you. And then Next Run and their mission of helping firefighter mental health. So all that being said, there we go. Housekeeping done. We're ready to get into the topics. So my brother, man, I always send out an email and say, hey, what do you want to talk about? What's the things I should research and things like that, man? And you sent me a comprehensive list. I love how good the guests are at sending stuff. So where is there a place you want to start, or you want me to start throwing stuff at you? What's on your plate?
What do you want to know? You want to know more about me? You want to start? You tell me. You're the host. What do you want to do?
Leadership. Exactly what the hell does that mean? That's the quote. I'm putting it in quotation marks. That comes from you. Leadership. What the hell does that mean?
You know, I don't know why I wrote that like that. But there's a couple of things when it comes to leadership and stuff, you know, and I just wrote a few words the other day and actually posted it. And I think part of what I wrote was trying to say, listen, stay in your lane. We got a lot of brothers and sisters out there that are trying to do good in the fire service. They get beat up for it because they come out of their lane. And the one thing we have to remember is if you're bringing back good to the fire service, you know, we got to respect that and not knock down our brothers and sisters. You know, that's an important thing, but stay in your lane. As far as leadership, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there pushing leadership, but in their own firehouse, they're not leading the men and women or their own fire department, you know, and even they can't lead their way out of a phone booth if their life dependent on it, but they'll teach a leadership class, you know, across the country. And that's frustrating. But again, not to sound like a hypocrite, if somebody takes something out of that and they're doing good, you know, on the road, okay, then that's good. You bring them back to the fire service. I just feel like do good in your own place, be a leader in your own place, in your own life, in, you know, with your family, at your firehouse, you know, in your own department before you could start teaching out across the country.
No, I like that, dude. Ooh, yeah. I don't know if I want to touch on the Fort Lauderdale Fire Expo, how that started and your journey.
Yeah, man. So that started, well, my journey's unique in itself. I mean, that's two different topics there.
Okay.
So my journey started back in the 23 engine FDNY. My dad was a New York City fireman. Okay. And I grew up in that firehouse. And I don't know, man. I don't know if there's a better firehouse in all of the country. I'm obviously biased.
Sure.
The helmet's sitting behind me over here. But I didn't know that I learned the things I learned until probably 20 years later. But I learned so much, you know, just growing up around those men. When my dad passed away, I was only 10. And I learned at an early age. Again, I didn't know, but I learned at an early age what brotherhood was. You know, those guys, when you wake up on the day your dad died to another fireman telling you that your dad died, you know, at your house, you know, you quickly learn, you know, what brotherhood's about. And to watch what they did, you know, growing up, you know, for my family, you know, my mom, my extended family, you know, and even to this day, they're in touch with my mom. And, you know, when things got tough when I was a teenager, then when I turned it around, and then when I tried to be a firefighter, and all the guys rallied, you know, to get me a job and to write letters, and it just kept going and going and going. And I learned about my dad being a union delegate, and that's where that came from. So everything started early for me, and I credit almost all my fire department lessons to what I witnessed as a young kid. That was how that.
You lost your father when you were 10. And so almost like the brotherhood was a surrogate father. I mean, I'm not trying to put words, but is that.
No, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's, yeah. That's I can only imagine the impact that has.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. Actually, I never heard it that way, Corley. It's, that's pretty good. You know, other than my grandfather's, I didn't have another, male figure in my life at the time. I have no brothers. You know, not many, close uncles. So it was the firefighters. I mean,
right.
And my dad's best friend, they were childhood best friends. There's three of them. They were both firemen, and my dad, John Gillespie Red, and Danny Sheridan. Danny was a four truck guy, ended up, going to the Bronx. And I think he was on a 29 truck. But my dad and him were best friends as kids. They all ran in the same circles with my mom and all her best friends. And, right. They ended up going to the Navy together. It's like, they used to do, I think, friend, buddy things where they send you together. And then Danny got hired on the fire department in Ford Truck. My dad was supposed to go to Ford Truck. Thank God he didn't, because I'm an engine guy at heart. And, well, not at heart. I'm an engine guy now. Not now. I'm pushing papers a little bit and standing in front yards. But I was an engine guy.
right.
And
right.
I still think I could teach engine stuff. But so anyway, long story on that. A spot didn't open up. He was supposed to go to Ford Truck with Danny. I ended up going to 23 Engine, which is right down the block, a couple blocks away. And so became this, what I grew up around. Red went to 76 Engine in Harlem. The kids were all close. So that's what got me through life. I mean, those guys and the 23 guys, just Tommy Van Doren. There's a lot of names, that I can keep going through. That just got my mom through what we went through.
Wow. No, I can only imagine the power of it. And I don't know a good way to segue to Fort Lauderdale and then fast forward to, you know, 12 years ago. Is it 12 years now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was close on the math, but I wanted to be accurate. So 12 years ago, you said, I'm going to start Fort Lauderdale Fire or this conference.
Yeah. So, and just to let what do we have? Like, three and a half people. We have like three right. people and right. a midget.
I think we just hit four. No, we got people watching, brother.
All right. Yeah. So for the four people watching, I'm in my garage, no AC. I don't have an office. This is makeshift. So I'm actually sweating my ass off right now. So if you see me like covering up and trying to do this and keep these ear pods in, it's because I'm soaking wet. So yeah, the expo, man. I was honored to be brought up to the Orlando Fire Conference, man, probably 15 years ago, ish, right around 2007. Yeah, look at that, 16.
Yeah,
New York City education. I could do quick math.
Quick math.
Dave Carter and Troy Cool, two amazing guys on our fire department. They're chief officers now. They were teaching engine company. Both were 46 alumni like I am. So we kind of all came up the same way. They brought me up there to teach with them. We were the only, I believe, outside guys teaching at the Orlando Fire Conference when it first started, which was pretty cool. So it was Orlando.
That is an honor, man. Yeah.
Yeah, man. It was Orlando doing like all the things that they do. You know, they love truck crap, jumping through windows and all the, you know, really cool, so they think stuff. And so they're like, all right, we're not that great at engine stuff, so we got to find engine guys. So where do you find engine guys? Well, there's only one department in Florida that does engine shit really good, for Lauderdale. So Orlando is pretty smart. They're like, let's reach out to these guys. So now, shameless plug there. Orlando is a badass department, man. They're filled with engine and truck guys that are top notch, man. Their heavy rescue's top notch. Just such a great fire department. but they are truck nerds. I mean, that's the bottom line. So long story, they brought those guys up. I got brought up a little bit later. And then fast forward like 2009, I'm teaching up there. We're thinking about starting our own thing. And I sat down with Matt Negley, and I'll never forget the conversation. I said, "Hey, Matty, it's still messing me up." Sorry.
No, you're good, bro. Yeah. Anytime it comes up like this, I'm still blown away because I never met him. The impact he still has on people, man. So yeah, go ahead.
It's good, man. I'm gonna pour some more wine. So I said to Matty, I said, you know, I want to start a conference, man. I want to check with you. And he laughed. He's like, are you kidding me? And I go, well, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, we're not pissing you guys off, man. He goes, Mike, are you going to teach firefighters? I said, yeah. Are you going to bring in good instructors? Yeah. You guys going to put on a good show? Absolutely. He goes, and what are you asking me for? As long as you're bringing something back to the fire service and you're doing it right, you know, I appreciate it, but go do it, man. Go do it. And a lot of the things I learned from Matty and the Atlanta Fire Conference, one of the first guys I met was Matt Rush, Austin. I don't know if anybody knows Matty, but one I probably learned the most from in two people / places in my career. And one of them I'm representing on my hat, FDTN. And the other was, I think, 2 years I worked with Matt Rush right when I was a brand new officer teaching at the Orlando Fire Conference. Wow. I took some stuff from him that we ended up just using and teaching and learning from for the rest of my career. But that's how it went with Maddie. And it was all she wrote in 09, I think 2010. I think they're like, all right, well, let's give Sally an engine class. So he invites us down. I think that's how the conversation went. It wasn't like, oh, dude, Sally's pretty good at this. I think it was, hey, man, he's got a conference now. So let's invite him up and give him a class. And then I don't know if that's how it went, but it probably did.
That's how it plays out in your mind.
Yeah.
No, so I want to back up and dig in a little bit, because you said you're representing Jim McCormick, obviously, on your helmet, FDTN, man. And that's a powerful statement. Hey.
Yeah.
And then Matt Rush, which I don't know the name as well. So is that someone that needs a scrap? Is that what what I'm asking?
Oh, absolutely. But did you have Jim on yet?
Oh, yeah. Jim's
okay.
I love Jim. Yeah. He may not know it, but I consider him a big mentor. So.
Oh. I mean, do you got 2 hours? I could talk about FDTN and Jim. I mean,
Jim is a mentor, of the fire service.
Yeah. Back to Matt Rush.
Yes.
Absolutely. If you can have him on, man. I feel like he's an OG on the engine stuff. And again, I learned so much from him, and he's well known throughout the country. Very, very about as humble as you can get. Complete opposite of me. But, you know, get him on if you can.
Okay, absolutely. I love hearing that. Now, I'm gonna kick it to the audience here. Hey, audience, 100%, get your questions in for Mike, especially since we're staying in our lanes. Ask truck company questions. I hope you catch my sarcasm. No, especially engine company tactics and things like that. Get your questions in. Throw them at him. Put him on the hot seat. I'm going to read some things coming in. Mark Carr said, listening from Central Missouri. Eric Johnson said, best in business, Sally. Bradley Valiancourt said, listening in from St. Cloud, Minnesota. Maddie Johnson gave us an LFG. So 100% South Florida representing. Timothy Wood said, I went to flip school 28 year at FDNY. Some stuff I don't know if I'm catching it right or if I'm missing the inside joke, so I have to make sure. Joe Battagli said, I love that mustache. That's for damn sure. So. Robert Ramirez, hey, fellas, apologize in advance, Corley. Just kidding. I have known Sally for 25 years, and he's been a friend and mentor, one of the most selfless brothers in the nation. So there you go. Dude,
you know, it's what's messed up is Rob can't do that, man. Come on. You can't give me compliments because I had a couple of things that I wanted to beat him up on.
Right?
And now he's doing that to me.
He's preemptive. It was the preemptive strike. He knew.
Yeah,
he's not a dummy.
No, he's not, man. But I'm just curious. You know, I did some research on some of your guests. You know, and I had to go back and Rob's like, go check mine out so you could pregame. I'm like, Rob, I'm not listening to you for 2 minutes, let alone 2 hours. Talk about Ritt. Are you kidding me? I'm like, no chance. I will listen to all 194 other scraps before I listen to you. But I love him to death. I had to kick him a little bit, but not as bad. I just think, Rob, like, if you're listening, it's turkey season's coming up. You got more chins than a Chinese phone book. So listen, stay away from the woods for a little bit, and I think you'll be safe, my brother.
I'll sum it up with the LMAO from Robert Ramirez, followed by I hate this guy. Dot, dot, dot. There you go.
I'll take the first compliment, though.
Robert Ramirez says, I'm not listening. So there you go.
He's hanging up. And then you had Liberace, I think, just made a comment, right?
Which
Matty
one?
Johnson,
Matty Johnson. I'm not laughing, Rob. I'm not laughing.
Yeah, you got old Matty Jaundice, the yellow fella. You know, he was good. I actually listened to him. I'm glad you had him. listen, these guys, we have a chief. He's a mentor to me. He texted me earlier. He's retired, Bob Simak. He's been a father figure to me since the day I came on the job. Taught me so much about just doing the right thing. As simple as that phrase is thrown around in the fire service, and thrown around every day. You know, he taught me, and there's a lot of other guys, Steve Pritchett on our job, Joe Battaglia, guys like that, that are, you know, listening in, that truly defined, though, what doing the right thing was. Truly defined it, you know, specifically when nobody's looking at 3 in the morning, you know, things like that, you know. But when the funny thing is, back to the comments about Matty Johnson and the, these guys were ruthless, the nicknames they gave them. Ruthless. But Chief Simak would always say, if firemen can cure cancer, if they just put their heads together. Because think about how crazy, you know, the kitchen table is, you know, and all the ideas and the craziness and, you know, we'll come up with a million different ways to get out of something.
Right.
Or to beat the system, or to beat the rule and reg that was just created for us. Right. So it we can cure cancer. We just got to get focused and get to the kitchen table. We really could.
No, I'm with you. They are the most ingenious. If unfocused, they really just need that thing that focuses them down. Usually it's admin, but, you know, take it or leave it. But yeah, 100%. I don't even know how to transition here. Please, everybody, send questions on, whatever you want to throw at Sally, please send questions. And then basics, they just aren't cool anymore.
Yeah, and yeah, this is like, again.
And then, hold on, as you get in the basics, I got to read a few more comments just to keep things going. Robert Ramirez said, did Sally make it mandatory for all his friends to watch tonight? And then Mike Bloomberg said, Robert Ramirez, you didn't get the money. I got paid. So there you go.
Yeah. Mike Bloomberg, hell of a fireman. He's ladder, Tau Ladder 2 downtown Fort Lauderdale, retiring in November, to second generation. You know, we got such a culture, in my fire department. And it's guys like Mike Bloomberg and there's guys listening. Young guys on here that heard Mike Fitting, great friend of mine.
Sure.
You know, just newer guys, older guys. It's been passed down from generation to generation to generation. You know, guys that are retired that are piping in that just, they paved the way. And we're just so lucky that, you know, we're an aggressive interior firefighting department. And I love it and I eat it up. I'm so proud of it. and it's continuing. You know, you sometimes you get worried if it's gonna die, you know,
Die, fade away. Yeah, absolutely.
Because of politics, you know, different rules and regs, different
policies,
leadership,
procedures, everything, yeah. Everything. And let me dig into that, because I really do. I love this topic, and I want to dig in and kind of use a crowbar on it and say, for the people listening out there, and maybe they don't work at Fort Lauderdale, it's been around and has a tradition and multiple generations working there and things like that. What if you could melt it down and identify something that you would say protect this? And I don't know if that's a fair question or not, but I'm just trying to throw it at you to see what you think of it. How do you cultivate that so that it can exist in insert wherever township, Pennsylvania or county of California?
That's a good question. I mean, you know, so we're known as the Cowboys by all the neighboring departments.
Oh, I love that. And,
yeah.
You wear it with pride?
Oh, God, come on.
Yeah.
Don't give a bunch of ego-driven cowboys a cowboy nickname. Like, are you kidding me?
Right on.
So here, you know, we go to events, we have retirement parties, and we got 50 knuckleheads showing up in cowboy hats, you know, t-shirts being made. But it's cultivated and again, bred. And the thing I like about it and the thing I don't like about it. So I think to answer your question, if you're going to take on that mantra, then take it on for everything you do. Now, store it, right, for the right times. You can't be a cowboy on everything we do, right? We can't go, you know, bull in a china shop on everything we're going to do. But we could have that aggressive mindset. And this is where, as I've grown up in the fire service and went up the ranks now, and in all fairness, I've seen some of the change in our new leadership, our new chief, and some of the things they're bringing in. They want to see that cowboy mantra on everything. They want to see it on traumas and medical calls and things like that. So if you're going to do it, do it. Store the badass, like store the I'm going to wreck shit, you know, for when you're needed. But take that mantra for everything we do.
Right.
If that makes sense.
No, 100%. And like in case of emergency, break glass. But yeah. The mindset is still there.
Yeah.
Adam Haroldson said, even his mustache is aggressive. I had to read that one. That just popped up and it caught my first question coming from the audience. Are you ready for it?
Yes, sir.
It comes from Todd Torbett. And he wants to know, what is an engine drill you would do with a new firefighter? We'll start that's with easy. A nice, soft, easy toss here so you can knock it out of the park.
Come on, man. I mean, that's an easy one. It's the C-Shift, Steve Pritchard, Battaglia is on there. These retired guys, we get on the job. They wouldn't tell us when we're doing a drill, but it would happen. And you just be, you know, caught off guard a little bit. You're coming back to the firehouse after a run, whether it's 3 in the afternoon, 3 in the morning. And all you would get is this. Hey, kid, we got a fire. And you knew it was on. So now it's the bunker up in the back of the rig. The get off the rig. The officer is going to tell you where the door is. Stretch the line to the front door. Mask up. To me, the most fundamental and basic things that we do in the fire service, slash the most neglected thing in the fire service. So that's the drill. If you can do that drill, and we push this, and the one thing I've continued to say, if you ever catch me saying something, one, my guys will call me out. They'll call me out right now on this thing live, and I want them to call me out. If you ever catch me teaching at the Orlando Fire Conference or any conference or speaking on a podcast on something that we don't do in my fire department, call me out. Because that is what we do. We preach it, we push it all day. 1¾ inches, front door, mask up, be under 130, and do what you said you wanted to do. Be a professional engine company firefighter. That's my drill.
I didn't want to talk over it because I ruined so many great sound bites by talking over them, man. And you were bringing it. Mike Bloomberg answered the question in chat and said, Todd Torbett, which is the guy who asked the question, he said, ask Mike about the drill. It's a great one. And I think you just laid it out for him. And
that
he
was
said,
it.
That's it. That's it right there. Dude, I loved it.
So I got Mike Bloomberg. I could tell stories, but not a lot, you know, obviously you can't tell them on this kind of thing, but
you can tell anything you want. This is the internet.
Well, you know, but only sometimes your own department can relate.
Okay,
but,
that's fair. That's fair.
You know, but we had some good times. I put him in some unique positions when he was a brand new company officer. Yeah, we've had some good times.
Good, good. Adam Haroldson said, good God, that's solid. God's work from Mark Alone. Oh, Mark Alone's in here talking to us. Heck yeah. Loved it. Sigh. Mike Bloomberg said this. He said sigh, and I have to say it right. I have to say it like he wrote it. He said sigh. With the engine work again.
Yeah.
No, I love it. Okay. So I touched on it already, but I want to get back to it because I kind of derailed it. The basics, they just aren't cool anymore. And I kind of derailed that. So get back to it and go with it.
So I can easily, and I'm putting ice in my red wine. If anybody has a problem, side text me, 954-650-1741. If you don't drink wine, that's cool. Like meaning with ice cubes, there's something wrong with you, not me. So I don't know what to tell you.
The gauntlet has been thrown down.
Yes.
Chilled red wine only.
And you always have a shot of cognac sitting next to it. So the basics, man, I could speak on that for a while. You know, shameless plug again, FDTN. It's all about the basics. Everything we do should be about the basics. I just feel like in the fire service, when you start looking at line of duty deaths and everybody that's listening on here, Corley, and I know Rob's a big research guy with all his data. Rob loves data. Data doesn't put fires out, but Rob loves data. Again, I got to hit him a little bit.
Data proven.
Exactly. Data doesn't rescue the firemen, but data is important, I guess. Not really. So, but when you look at the NIOSH reports, I don't consider that data. I just consider it reading. When you look at it, the common denominators usually on most injuries and line of duty deaths, most, and I'm taking away like the cardiac events and stuff like that, is something to do with water. The first line, water supply, whether the lines, something goes wrong with the line, whatever, major kink, major malfunction, pump failure, things like that. Or again, if you're up north, we don't have to worry about that down here in South Florida, but hydrants freezing over, things like that. So with that said, if that's the common denominator in most of those injuries and line of duty deaths, and here's the other part of it, I challenge anybody listening as a company officer to go back and do your pre-connect drill, do your, you know, your normal stretching drill, and just mention it in the morning to your guys, whether you have a senior crew or not, but mention it. This is what you're going to get. Cap, are you kidding me? I've stretched 1,000 times in my career.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or you're going to get from somebody, a senior guy, like, come on, man. I don't need to do that. I've proven myself before. Or somebody knocking it, right? Like, big time. Like, are you kidding me? Come on. Like, you're really going to have a stretch lines today? What, we got so much other stuff to do.
Right.
So the complacency is a couple of things. One, the senior guys that don't want to do it are afraid because they know they're not going to be so smooth at it. Right. So we try to tell people embrace your uncomfortable. Right. So that's a big part of it. But I think it's so neglected. The basics are neglected. Mask up, neglected. How many times do you hear people, I can mask up, I'm good, I've been masking up for 25 years.
Right.
Until you put yourself in a microscope, And Ben Schultz, I don't know if you haven't met Ben. He's West Palm Beach
Oh, dude,
firefighter.
I love Ben Schultz. Yeah,
Dude, his
time is the
seconds
enemy. Speed
matters.
is the weapon. Yeah,
Yep.
dude.
Like, everybody needs to take that because when you start realizing how much time and where this came from my department is before I came to training as the chief of training, we're all guys that love fire, right? So what do? We watch, and we had a department that embraced taking videos.
Nice.
Like they
Nice.
loved it.
Nice.
Our current fire chief was the PIO. The PIO before that is a buff. You know, the PIO before that's a buff. So they told guys, take videos, take videos, take videos, send it to us. So we got to see, you know, our own guys in action. And there was a few times where you cringe, where you're like, oh,
yeah,
man, that's like,
well,
you
like
know.
Mike Malone said it here. He said, record the drill. The little clock doesn't lie, no matter how good we think we are, man. When you watch the video don't lie.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah.
We started seeing some videos and again, I'm a homer. My guys are quick. My guys are aggressive, like to the core. But we all, you know, like every department, you started seeing some, you know, some weaker, you know, videos and you're like, oh, wow. So we started pushing that as a department objective. We have to get this under 30 seconds. We have to get your mask up. And it's only like four or five things, right?
Right.
It's mask, right? Hood. Pretty freaking simple. Helmet, gloves, which is everybody's horrible gloves, by the way.
No doubt.
And then clicking in, right?
Right.
So, you know, we push that. So it really became a prevalent thing, you know, to just seek this out. Like, all right, what's our problem? Okay, one, let's fix mask up. Then we did that for a whole year. And then the next year we started hitting it again. Okay, we're revisiting mask up. Here's the techniques. We want you to, you know, behind the head, on the arm, old school in the knees. Here's three different ways to do it. And then now we accompanied that with stretching.
Right.
And we need you stretched to the front door, minute and 30, water in a line, bled, ready to go in. And you'd be surprised, though. So my challenge earlier was, if you tell guys, 10 guys in your fire department to stretch, odds are they're going to stretch 10 different ways.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
That should never happen.
No, you're. But is that the norm? That like you said, that's the norm.
Yeah. So we taught the way we want the stretch. And this came from, again, passed down from generation to generation. We just tweaked it a little. We just tweaked it. We made it a little bit quicker and a little bit easier. And we wanted to start seeing, and this is my entire class at Orlando. We wanted just to simply see one thing. Coupling, nozzle, front door, under it minute and 30, ready to make entry and win that battle. Just very simple. And if you could take that approach to the entire department, including the mask up approach, and you're telling me from the time you shut the door on the rig to the time you get in the front door is under 130, and I still think 130 is liberal, to be honest with you.
No, I'm with you. Especially once you start getting and digging.
Yeah.
Once you start getting people bought in, especially.
Just look at a Stockton fire video.
Yeah.
And you'll see that that's liberal. Just like,
right.
We're on the same page there. But once we started pushing that and trying to encourage people to look at their flaws, you know, I did the mask up on video. We had Chief Stewart on video. Let's get better at this, guys. And that's kind of where that back to basic shift kind of started going for us in my fire department.
Right. No. And I can't even get into how many people would not even allow themselves to be videoed. Robert Ramirez coming at you with the question. Are you ready? Yeah. I'll point at the right camera. There we go. Sally talks about moving in 3-foot increments a lot when he teaches. Can he expand on that? #data driven.
uh,
I had to throw it in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Salute.
So, well, I'm gonna expand on that, but I'm gonna do a little backstory. Two backstories actually. Here, let's go. So, and I might need a refresh in my ice. Just so you know, I don't know how I'm gonna do it. Like, if this is a tactical, I just run and do it, or I text somebody in the family to bring me ice. Like, I'm still like processing that, but
we'll see how you adapt. Know. We'll see, and we'll judge. The audience and myself will judge how you handle that. That go for it.
So, two quick things on that. Matty Rush was the one who taught me 3 foot increments. But before I get into that, Timmy Klett. If anybody's taking a Timmy Klett class, which Timmy's probably been sleeping for 5 hours at this point, but one of the just my mentors, I've been fortunate enough to teach with him on the road. Me, him, and Danny Moran. Timmy's the water wizard of the north. Danny Moran's the water wizard of the south. Like, I don't know if you guys understood that dynamic, but that's how that works in the water wizard world. And I'm just a guy that kind of hangs out with both of them, almost like a, what do you call somebody that goes with the,
I'm with you.
So Timmy Klett is amazing. And there's no, like, I'm afraid that I even just kind of, I don't think I made fun of him, because somewhere in his sleep, he's got some weird ringing in his ear, and then he's gonna get me back tenfold at this point. So anyway, but Timmy teaches one thing that I absolutely love, and I've stolen. I don't even know if he knows I stole it, but it's basically equating. And I hate to do this, especially to our military guys, because I don't ever want to compare anything we do to war. So let's make sure that we understand right. that there's, you know, a sensitivity there. But the fire is the war, and everything we do is the small battles, right?
Right.
So Timmy always says, you know, win the stretch, win the advancement, win the hallway, win the fire room, and knock down, you'll win the war.
Right.
Right. So it's a very good incremental approach to what we do. And if you take it, and not only like do you need to take that, you need to take that and dissect it and make sure you're getting better in every part of that and not falling into the fire service trap if I've done that a million times. No, you haven't, because not every building is the same.
Right.
Not every stretch is the same, right? Every front yard's different. Some front yards are pristine. Some have junk. Some have broken down cars. Some have fences. Some have RVs in the way, right? And some are $1 million stretches, or some are 200-foot stretches. So don't tell me you've done it a million times and you're good at it, because we need to continue to get better at it as a whole. As long as firefighters are getting injured or killed, and that's the main culprit, we need to continue, you know, beating that down. So back to the other part, I had to preface that with the Timmy Klett thing.
Right.
So, yeah, just some small nugget, and that was Matty Rush. When I first started teaching, I just did things that were, you know, like taught to me in the fire academy, which is scary, because the fire academies to me are crap. Like, the fire academy, please somebody show me a fire academy in the country that is teaching guys to be firemen, and I would love to know. And I'm not saying there's not, just if there is, tell me, because I'm going to be, you know, a fan of it.
I'm with you right now and saying I've not heard of it, and if I did, I would be singing its praises every week on the scrap. So I'm with you. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm just saying, please let me know where it's at, because I want to clue in, and I want to borrow its curriculum.
Correct.
Right.
I would say in the state of Florida, believe it or not, the Fire College, Florida State Fire College, does some amazing things. I think they're the closest to putting out day one ready firemen. You know, of course they're going to be the closest. They're the home of the Florida State Smoke Divers. I mean, you got the best and the baddest instructors from all over the country. Luckily, I have a couple of them at my fire department, including the lead instructor. So we're lucky to have them. You talk about guys that are invested in the fire service, and then they get beat up over it.
Right.
you know, which is hilarious to me, right? And don't get me wrong, I'm sure I said some stupid jokes because I'm good at that. But these guys are, show me guys that are that invested in and into the fire service, and I'm gonna I'll take them all day every day. I mean,
oh, here's the thing: I love to bust chops on CrossFitters and smoke divers. Insert the state, but at the end of the day, they are plugged in, dialed in, and know their business. And
yeah, CrossFit, like, listen,
I'm just saying, as far as people who like to talk, people who talk about what they do is what is my point on that.
I don't look like I've done it, but I've tried it. I think Maddie, was it Maddie? Thanks for the shameless plug. I think he said something along the lines of, I didn't, you know, look very good. But, you know, he gave me a nice plug as somebody that can operate very well in a fire.
Right on.
And, you know, you show me a jacked up dude and I'll show you where he's at in rehab 10 minutes later. And then you show me a guy that looks like, you know, guys like this, guys like Mike Bloomberg, Battaglia, guys that mentored me throughout my whole career that are on their second and third bottle. And then, you know where the rest of them are at. So,
right.
But back to the 3-step rule. And I probably screwed it up from Matty Rush, but, he basically said, get rid of the bad fire academy habits, you know, sitting at the front door, hand over hand, moving hose, right? That's your weakest part of your body is your upper body. Your strongest part of your body is your lower body. So he basically taught me from every pivot point, whether it's the front door, if this is my front door and we're going in the fire that way, you know, 3 feet back, you're grabbing hose line, you're coming in the front door 3 feet in a locked crouch position, dropping hose, coming back out, staying low, and moving with your core body, your lower body, you know, locking, dropping. And then about after the second push, then you're moving to the next pivot and you're doing that. Instead of that old school fire academy, you're moving hose with your lower body and you're doing it at 3 foot. So we get to a pinch point, whether we make the hallway, now we're making a right down the hallway. Very simple. I sit at that pinch point. I work 3 feet behind it and 3 feet in front of it. Now I'm moving hose 3 feet in. I come back. And that's how I'm going to continue to work every angle.
3 feet at a time.
3 feet.
And Rob, hashtag, I got to do my hashtag, data driven.
And if you get that dialed in with your company, they'll feel the movement.
Mm-hmm.
So when they feel no movement, they know you're resetting.
Right.
Which I love because now we're incrementally moving, but it's also giving the nozzle time to look around, see what's going on above, you know, and listen, a lot of us are short staffed, right? So the guy in the middle, generally speaking, is going to be the officer, right? The door guy might be the next company, whether it's an ambulance slash rescue for us, you know, they're coming to the door now, they're working the door, you know, the officer's working the first pinch point, whether that's the hallway. So the nozzle guy knows when he doesn't feel momentum, then we're resetting.
And that only comes from those reps.
Correct.
Yeah, man, that's beautiful. Jim Petruzzi, I love that point. This was from earlier, so some of these questions are from a while back as we've gone down our rabbit trails. But how do you tackle the complacency from senior blue shirts?
It's a great question.
No, it really is. I don't want to hear your answer, so.
So, buy-in. 100% buy-in. And this is where you grow up in the fire service. And I felt like I grew up quickly. I had no choice. I got promoted and I was at one firehouse my first year because the officer got hurt. It was a senior crew. And then my second year, now we do things a little bit different. We have a lot of extra officers. So you don't get a bid for a little bit until, you know, probably, I don't even know, 5 to 8 years later. So my second year, like literally 11 months into me being an officer, company officer, I got a bid at a slower company up on the beach. And I had a fireman and a driver. And I'll never forget, I was a 30-year-old brand new company officer. And the guys would kid with me. They're like, oh, you got your your dad is your driver and your grandfather is your fireman. Because my dad, the driver, Wally Shrub, was like 55 at the time, and the fireman was like 65, Paulie Schultz. So I used to get kidded about that. But
right.
Here I am, a gung-ho. I just started teaching at Orlando. I'm teaching at the Fire Academy. And, you know, all I want to do is do drills and get out. And it was halted until I figured out, wait a minute. You could figure this out. They're paying you to figure this out. And I figured out that I just needed to get them to buy in. Maybe it's not going to go the way I want it to go. And that's an important part that everybody needs to know. You might come in with a plan that day, but don't settle on that plan. Listen to everybody around you. The hints are there. The clues are there. And if the day's got to, you know, ebb and flow different ways, but the end result at the end of the tour is that you got what you needed to get done, then it's a success.
Success.
So you have to buy them in. So I'll never forget, I was working at Engine 47 in our city, a driver by the name of Donnie Morton. And Donnie was just a class act. Old school. I want to say I probably had on 8 or 9 years when I made company officer, and he probably had roughly 24, 25 maybe. And he was dying of cancer. And dude showed up every day. And I'll never forget, because I never showed it, but I was nervous. And Donnie drove like 100 miles an hour. I'm not even joking. It was awesome.
Nice.
But you know, going from the left seat to the right seat, I was only left seat for like a year and a half. So I'm sitting there, and I'll never forget, I'm like holding on. And guys had said on the job, don't mess with the drivers. They'll make your life miserable. Do not second guess them. So I shut up. I didn't say a word. And Donnie's driving like 100 miles an hour, but he was, you know, he got us there. He was safe. And there was a backstory to that. Another officer made the mistake of telling Donnie that hey, Donnie, you're driving a little bit too fast. We both left the hospital, and you beat the rescue, left the hospital. I guess they had a fireman ride in that rescue, and they went to pick him up at the hospital. And the rescue had left first, and the engine beat him back to the firehouse. So he goes, you need to slow down. This is a brand new officer right around my same age group. Karma hit. The next fire, the next run was a fire in the west end of the district. What do you think Donnie did?
Just moseyed.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So back to Donnie. I learned this from him. You know, I wanted to stretch and I wanted to do these drills, and I learned buy-in. And I basically put it on him as the senior man. I learned a lesson from him though, because I tried taking care of him because he had like these incisions and stuff. And I tried putting him to the side, like, hey, Donnie, just give your 2 cents if you need it. And he got mad at me. Like, how dare you? I can do everything. I'm one of the guys. If I showed up to work today, I'm going to do the job. And that was the old school mentality.
Right.
The guy's dying of cancer, and he did not want me to treat him different. Mm. And I learned to put it on them as senior men. I know I took a really long circle to get to the brother's answer, but if you want buy-in, just put it on them. Hey, listen, we're going to do a drill today. I'd like you guys to run it. Here's what I'm trying to accomplish. Or, hey, senior guy, you know, what do you think of this drill? Can you give me some input and put it back to them? Let them give you the input. Let them run the drill. Because guess what you're going to get? All of a sudden, you're going to get buy-in. You're going to get, holy shit, he wants me to do this? And you're going to get buy-in. And then they're going to be running the drill, and they're going to feel the inclusion. They're going to feel the energy, and they're going to want to do what the company wants to do and what the officer wants to do. And again, you might have came into the shift going, I'm going to run a good drill today. but you didn't have to say a word and you left and it was accomplished.
Right. Dude, I love it, man. Great, great answer. I'm trying to figure out which of these. There's a ton of questions coming at you from a ton of the audience.
And I'll make them quicker.
No, you're good. It's value, so you're good. I always tell this to the guests. If you get a chance later.
I'm going to change hats, too.
Oh, it's time.
Hold on.
Okay.
I'm going to represent my dad's firehouse.
I love this. Okay. That was worth this pause. Go back after the scrap and read the Facebook comments, because there's so many I'm missing that I'm not getting to throw at you. So please understand that. Right now we're like 180 comments, and I've read you like 20. So just to give you kind of a frame of reference, David Byerly wants to know your thoughts on masking up before air break.
So I'm not a big fan. However, there's always a but, right?
Right.
I'm not a big fan simply because I feel like a lot of the masks constrain what we do. They simply do. So, and the fire service is about pivoting and changing. You know, you may think you're going to be second in and you're given task X, which is to go in. And then all of a sudden task X turns into, hey, I need engine three. I need you to, you know, ladder the B side and, or do VES or do something else. Right. So I just feel like, with that said, you know, having your mask on before you get to the scene, you know, it's your vision, your breathing, depending on the type of mask, right?
Because
some constrict others, right?
Manufacturer definitely matters, yeah.
But how about just getting really good at it, where you're 14, 15 seconds? Like, dude, walking up to the front door, right? Everybody's got the entire American fire service has to walk from a rig to a front door.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a shit if you got FDNY in your shirt or Marathon down in the Florida Keys, right? You got to do the same thing. The job's the same. So how about just making yourself really good at mask up? Now, caveat, because there always is in the fire service, right? So you got some senior guys or guys that have been doing it a while and they're doing it good. Like, I may think that that doesn't work, but we had a fire the other day and I got a senior fireman, 24 years on the job, that saw the column of smoke. He's first in. He came up to the front door, stretched the line to the front door, dropped the line. The officer was doing his thing, sizing up, doing his 180 and masking up himself. Guess what he did? He clicked in, and this is an older fireman. Not only is he 24, but he's older as it speaks. And he went inside, quickly searched two rooms, came back out. There was water in the line. The officer was ready. They went in and put the fire out. Like, how do I fault that? That's how I know I got a good wife. I guess she's listening because I got ice.
I haven't met Mrs. Salzano. I saw her at the photo op, but I don't know the first name, so I have to say Mrs. Salzano.
So to answer the question, every situation is different. Listen, you're the first due truck, and there's multiple victims, you know, trapped, confirmed. Maybe you mask up. I don't know.
Right.
I'm just not a big mask up before I get there guy, because, and I never have been, even before we took the platform to get better at it. I always felt I was decent at mask up. So I just never was that guy. But again, to each his own. How about we just get really good at it, though?
Dude, I love it. I can't argue with, and BJ Breacher, I think, said it great. How about getting good at it? Hell yeah, with the exclamation point, all caps. So I think he encapsulated it. All right, back to questions from the audience. Maurice Brown wants to know, as the engine officer, are you ahead of the nozzle or behind the nozzle when searching for fire?
Maurice Brown, Jacksonville Fire. Badass motherfucker right there. Oh, my first curse word. Damn it.
Is that it?
Is that
true?
I thought I was going to go the whole way.
We're going to fact check it, but yeah. We'll give it to you for now.
Oh man, Maurice, dude, you pulled that out of me, dude. Maurice is a good officer up in Jacksonville. I had him as a Fire Academy student, and he rode with us at 46 here in Lauderdale, grew up in Lauderdale.
Nice.
So ahead or behind the line. So I was always a behind the line guy, until I went to FDTN, and learned things from Jim that I wish I had learned, 20 years ago. Listen, two person company, that you got to be behind the line, right? I mean,
right.
You're going to make the nozzle guy do everything,
right?
Right. Up in Jacksonville, they're running, four man. So they got three guys on the line. But I still feel like even with three on the line, you probably got to work a little bit there. Right. But it is nice when you can get ahead of the line. So if you can get ahead of the line, absolutely get ahead of the line. If you got a truck in the firehouse and the truck officer is getting ahead of the line, and this is something that we're pushing now. I have the ability right now. We're changing some of our fire ground SOPs. We used to have it just for high rise fires where the truck would, get to the fire floor and get ahead of the line, and make the apartment, give the feedback, search the apartment if it's tenable enough. But now we had our more senior officers in our aggressive downtown ladder company that just started inherently doing that on house fires.
Right. Residential.
What else are they going to do? They're coming up and they're not going to sit there and wait for the line at the front door. So they're getting in, they're getting to the fire, they're working their way back, they're reporting back to the engine company. Hey, it's four doors down, make a right at the hallway. Fire's, 35 feet. So, I'm a big ahead of the line guy. Again, if your staffing dictates, if you have a rescue company, ambulance, with you and you can get ahead of the line, get ahead of the line. That's your job. Your job's to find the fire, report back to the guys what they need, tangible information, right? Not just more hose, hey, fire's 10 more feet down on the right. I need 15 to 20 feet. Apartment is right here. You're at the door. Now, based on size up, you should already know how big the bedroom is or how big the fire room is. Hey, we're at the fire apartment. Give me 20 feet. Everybody ready? Okay, let's go. Because right. The minute you don't give tangible information and you just yell back, hey, we're at the fire apartment or the fire room, let's go. What do you think everybody does? They come up to the line.
Right.
With no hose. Right. So you got to give tangible information back. Again, that's an FDTN thing that we preach there. Tangible information wins all day. Again, professional engine company. So again, long way to his answer, but I hope I answered it.
I love when the guest can say long way to the answer. That's like gold to my ears. I love it. Thank you, Maurice Brown, for an awesome question.
So you had JJ on the other day, right?
I believe you're following JJ, aren't you?
Am I following Dave? Oh. So I listen to JJ. I love JJ. He's one of my favorite people. I went to sleep in like 3 minutes. So moving forward, if I ever have trouble falling asleep, I'm just going to put JJ's scrap on. That's what I'm going to do.
I'm going to soundbite that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What did JJ talk about? For 2.5 hours, I have to watch it. What do you talk about for 2.5 hours?
I enjoyed it immensely.
Okay, I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
JJ, I love you to death. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that.
Brother, he had photos. He had stories.
All right, so it was good. It was good.
It was solid, brother. All right. 100%. If I cut it off when it gets – that's my job. My job is like, okay, it's time to end this, right? Okay. So when it goes,
I don't know how long Rob was on for. How long can you talk about a RIT team? Did he talk about data and RIT?
We can talk about knife fights and elevators for a long time.
He was on longer than Matty Johnson talking about dying twice. How is that possible?
Here's the deal. Robert Ramirez.
I'm going to put Matty's hat on. Hold on.
Okay. Hat switch time. All right. But no, Robert Ramirez has been on more than anybody.
Don't invite him anymore.
in the history of the scrap.
He's done. He's put his number in the rafters. He's done.
Hang the jersey, the Mania mindset.
Hang it up.
I was gonna rock actually Rob's Mania mindset shirt tonight.
Wait, how many times has Isaacson been on?
He's gonna be number four come 200.
Dude, I gotta figure out how he does business. Kurt Isaacson, he's got like 8 conferences now. Guys pay to go to his conference to be yelled at. I love it. I love it. Like, he has figured it out.
He has a passion that connects with people, man, without a doubt.
The Matt Nagley.
I think that if it was fake, it wouldn't be where it's at. And that's the thing is, it's the authenticity because I get what, don't get me wrong. I get it, but the authenticity wins out. Same as the Fort Lauderdale, same as OFC.
I agree. And that's the Matt effect, the Matty effect. He's giving back to the fire service. Mm-hmm. I hope he hosts a thousand conferences and guys go to his conferences and they take something back, one thing back to the firehouse, and make their firehouse better, make their battalion better, make their department better. I mean, that's what we're here for, right? I mean, I think that's why we're talking tonight, right?
Absolutely. Dude, value, the purpose of the scrap is value to the audience that spends their evening here listening to two chumps bust balls and have a good time laughing, chuckling, drinking chilled red wine. And absolutely, that's what it's about, man. 100%. Adam Haraldson coming at you. Discipline is discipline. But how do you truly make sure you, as a company officer, don't get complacent or play into the, we've done that a million times, let's do something more interesting today, which is a tough fight. That's a tough fight.
Yeah, and listen, I understand, man. Like, as a company officer, you got to have a balance, dude. Mm-hmm. You can't come in and expect to stretch lines every shift. And that's an important part of knowing your guys. Mm-hmm. Not only as a company officer, you got to be almost like a not a guidance counselor, but like a peer support guy. You got to be an instructor. You got to be a leader. Mm. You got to be a dictator sometimes. You got to, like, there's so many different hats you wear as a company officer. And one of them is understanding the workload of your men and women. And reading them. You got to be a poker player too. You got to know when to shut up. That's important. Sometimes they don't want to hear you. Sometimes you just need to come in and not say a damn word. Read the room. Maybe today might be a Thursday and you think you're supposed to drill or do this or do that, but maybe today is Sunday. And you just need to chill out and watch movies for 24 hours.
Right.
Right. So that's your job as a company officer, man. Mm. And I think it's important to have that balance. And listen, once your guys get to cowboy status and you know they could stretch, they can advance, they can extinguish, they could search, they're badass on trauma calls. All their shit's done back at the firehouse, all the damn target solutions we make these guys do, and all that's done. And then you can let off the pedal a little bit, man. I mean, you got to read the room again.
Dude, that is solid, solid advice for every company officer out there, man. Earn it, earn the downtime. But when you earn it, man, enjoy it. Enjoy it.
I enjoyed it. I'm the one of the biggest fuck guys in the fire department. Like, dude, I mean, downtime's amazing. Just,
dude, it's the best part. I don't say the best part. The best part about this job is like saving a life. You know what I'm saying? But you don't get to guarantee that. But what you can guarantee is well-earned downtime. And the opposite of that is unearned downtime. When you don't put in the sets and reps, and that's where the complacency like really gets its claws in you. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah, man, I agree. There's nothing better than the fire service, man. You show me a job that you show up with your best friends and you hang out and you shoot the shit all day, and then you do work and then you come home and you go on vacations and you know everybody's kids and their family and you go to the Keys and you go ride side by sides and you go to weddings and you go to funerals and it gets tough, but you see guys, kids grow up together and like, come on, what is better? Like, you tell me what's better, dude. I barely passed high school in New York City education, came down here, Deerfield Beach, you know, struggled for a while, barely got out of high school. My wife kids me all the time. She's got a master's now.
Right.
I got an online chief's degree. And you know, the opportunities this job has opened up, like dude, it's unbelievable for me on two different places, union and fire service. Like the union, I can talk to you. We're not gonna, but all night too on that.
Right on.
Like, but this unbelievable career. I love every minute of it.
Love it. Okay, I'm gonna give you a question here. This was thank you for the answer A to Adam Haraldson's great question. First of all, James Michalisco has one coming at you. And so, hat change. So hold on.
Hockey team. I got to plug the hockey team.
I wondered which way we were going, so I was just checking. It's time for my bio break. So this comes from James Michalisco, which says, Mike, what's your number one goal as a chief in the training division? No. Normally, I don't do this lightly unless I really trust the guest, but I trust you immensely. So you get to have the scrap for the next, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes while I hit the head.
Oh,
number one goal is a chief in the training division, and go.
Let's go. I mean, I wish I could feel we can really turn this thing around, man. Like he just went through the door. We could have fun, man. If somehow I could get the questions and get control, but apparently I can't. So I'll answer this question. The number one goal was just to make sure that we were back to the basics, man. Like we talked about before, I'm not going to, you know, hit that any more than we hit it. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we can do the simple things and we can continue our traditions. We are a fire engine. We're an engine company department. That's what we're known for. In South Florida, we put fires out. We're aggressive. And my goal was just simply, I got to keep that tradition going. And if we're going to talk the talk, we got to walk the walk, man. If we're going to be called cowboys, we got to do it the cowboy way. We got to be quick. We got to be efficient. Not only do we got to size up quickly, efficiently, effectively, stretch the line, get it stretched, choose the right line. Make sure that we understand the differences of stretching. Is it a difficult stretch, an extended stretch? Is it a vertical stretch? But then we got to put the right amount of hose on the ground, and we got to get water in that line, advance that line, win that battle, and put the fire out. That's all I cared about, that and mask up. 3.5 years, I had to make sure that, you know, that we did that. I had the ability working at FDTN and Jim McCormick to see what he has out there. So we started building our own Connex City. So we were able to start bringing live fire FDTN style to my fire department. I think we now have over 20 boxes, 3 buildings, a commercial building prop, a 2-story apartment building, and a T building. So if you've been to FDTN, you understand the 3 differences. So that was my goal. My goal was to start building a real live fire facility like Jim, so we can get our guys the most effective and real life fire training that we could, to beef up our recruit school, which I did. That was my main goal, was to not. And my guys say it the best in training. I love the speeches they give. And one of the mantra that these guys have, Rob Ricci, Willie Mejia, Danny Moran, a couple of smoke divers there, Kazari Brownlee, these guys, Mike Fitting, Terrazona, like, and I'm giving some props here to some of these guys, you know, because they're the best of the best. And their mantra was, my best friends are riding with me in a fire truck. You need to earn getting on that fire truck so I could trust you with my best friends.
Mm. Hold on, I got a timestamp.
Should I pour another shot?
Yes.
All right.
And I want you to know how much, after all the balls you busted of people you consider friends, because, you know, Matty Johnson, Rob Ramirez, there have been some ball busting already, some shoe chopping. I've trusted you immensely with the scrap.
I see that.
Here comes another one.
All right. Representing the 302.
Okay. I like it. And on that note, let's keep Chief Brush on the 1403 committee so we don't outlaw OSB. Could you imagine live fire without OSB? That comes from James Michalisco asking that question.
Yeah, man. I know Jim up at FDTN has tried to figure out potentially some other options. I don't know what we're going to do, man. Listen, I get it, though. And that came from the IFF. So I'm like rocking a hard place, man. Like, right. 'Cause I absolutely respect everything the IFF is doing. And I'm not a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, I'm not a, just a, you know, like a zombie following what they're doing. I respect what they're doing. But I also see the other side of it. We got to train our new guys. We're not getting the fires like we used to.
Right.
I didn't get the fires that the generation before me did.
And not only that, but the fuel has changed immensely over the last 20 years. I mean, the last 15 years, the amount of BTUs that is given off in such a rapid.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, I say this all the time. I said, the difference between my dad's fire service to mine is extremely different.
Right.
What, and I know he was fighting fires in different buildings and high rises. We had a Christmas party and, I got to ride in the rig on a Christmas party and they had a fire in, I think it was the Hilton. It was like, I don't know, 70 freaking stories. And I'm like a little 8-year-old kid. And I got stuck in the rig for like 2.5 hours where they're like 70 floors up. All right. That's a different firefighter.
Right.
But I feel like my job is more, or is toxically more dangerous than my dad's job was at the time.
Well, I think that's a fair statement. I think that's fair without being arrogant or anything or reading into it. It's not downplaying what they did. It's just, it's a different environment. And
think about, think about, we've all, everybody listening and everybody's been to fires that you show up and you're like, oh shit, boys, we got one. Heavy smoke showing from the outside. You push in, you get to the fire room, and it's like, I don't know, a little IKEA desk and a freaking computer on fire. And it was pumping out smoke.
Pumping
that you
out
thought,
volume like you couldn't believe.
Right? And then that shit's on our gear. And then, you know, here's where we're badass firemen now, right? We're coming back, you know, to the firehouse and, you know, we're not cleaning our gear and stuff. And, you know, and I got such a simple answer on the gear, man. Anybody that's not in a black helmet and black gear, just give them a black helmet and black gear. And these guys will clean it every day. Think about it. You give them a yellow helmet and some bright ass freaking brown or orange gear. It doesn't look cool. Give them a black helmet and black gear. They'll clean it. It's pretty simple.
There you go. There's the answer. I'm trying to look at the questions. I'm still grabbing questions, and Sam's also grabbing questions and throwing them
Let's
at me.
Let's go.
So, oh, you're good. David Byerly wants to know, as a senior man, how do you build a rookie firefighter into an autonomous firefighter? What is your big advice to that point?
How do you build Read that last part again.
A rookie firefighter into an autonomous firefighter, someone able to make decisions on their own.
Dude, rookie school, man. Like, this point blank. We turned our rookie school into, like, literally our only goal when we changed the entire program. And I'll email our program to anybody that wants it.
Love
it. Anybody. It's a PDF. I'll send it to you right now if you need me to. I don't think Corley wants me to, but maybe later. So, simple. Again, before what I said, if you have the mantra, you're not riding in my fire truck until I know you're good to protect and be there for my best friends, right?
Right, right.
But second, actually, that's probably second. First, as a chief, I need to know that on day one, you could be a standalone fireman in the back of an engine, back of a ladder, or for us, a second or a third on a rescue company, which is an ambulance. And that's how we train them in their 10 weeks. We give them 35 plus working fires. That's what they get in 10 weeks. Mm. 35 plus mm. working fires. They get everything from, you know, SCBA week all the way to the last week where we're burning at night, we're burning, you know, and that's, we're giving them enough that we feel like everything they're being, that's being pushed on them is enough experience for them as if they were a 5 or 10 year guy coming on day one. If you give them that and you teach them to a nauseating level, the principles, again, gearing up, masking up, stretching, advancing, extinguishing, laddering, forcing, writ. If you just teach them that at a nauseating level, I'm talking reps, 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 POs that they have to pass, which is what we did, hold them accountable, you're good. You'll get a day one pretty damn good fireman.
Pretty damn. Sorry. Time stamping and making a note. Dude, I love the sound bites. I got to figure out which one I'm going to use to represent the podcast. You know what I'm saying? And I've got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 written down right now.
Bro, you so, do you, man.
You're doing you. I'm just writing down when it's worth
writing down. You're a special breed, man. You're fucking Moore Fire Department with a Corley Moore name. Like,
they put my name on the trucks. That's what I tell them.
Yeah, man. I mean.
No, I'm the luckiest dude in the fire service because I get to have these conversations week in, week out with some of the most passionate motherfuckers in the fire service. And it's just, it to me, I don't even know why they keep coming, but I love it. And so I'm not going to stomp on it in any way, shape or form.
The funny thing is you're looking at it from a different angle. All my little ball breaking, rule breaking cowboys down in South Florida wish their name was the same as the fire department. Cause guess what it's going to do to them? It's going to get them out of trouble.
Right on.
100%. Wait, you're calling a complaint on who? Moore? Yeah, that's where we work. Yeah, Moore. Yeah, that's where we work. It's going to get him out of trouble.
Would that work if the name was Mike Lauderdale?
Yeah, exactly.
Best way, Tyler Whitfield wants to know, best way to adapt or opinion of the ever-changing and softer fire service and the new generation of firefighters coming into our department's training division for recruit school. What do you think of the new softer generations? And I'm using his language, not my own. So
you're saying the best way to attack the softer generation?
Best way to adapt.
Do we have to?
This is you can take it whatever direction you want to take it.
Listen, I don't know if we have to adapt. I think we got to do two things. Three things. Set the standard, hold the standard, but treat people like humans, man.
Mm.
Like, that's it. You know, treat people like you want to be treated. So you got to listen. The generation has changed, right? I'll change with the generation all day long. I don't care what you are, dude. I can give two, you know what? you're gay, you're bi, you're trans, you're ethnicity, I can care less. I mean, if you're a brother fireman or sister firefighter, I can care less what you are. You're in my family, I'm protecting my family. And that's the bottom line. So with that said, man, if you just hold the standard and you do, here's the key though. You can't change the standard. You can't change the standard for the kid whose dad's on the job and you bend a little bit. Bro, you bend a little bit, you're getting caught. I'm telling you right now, you're going to get caught. They're going to see it. And then when you go to discipline or get rid of somebody that's not meeting the standard, you're screwed. You're done. You tap out. You screwed the standard. If you hold the standard the entire time, I don't care what the person is, what they represent, you can hold them to that standard, but you have to be true to that standard from day one.
Dude, I love, dude, the three steps. Thank you. And like I said, purple, green, bi, trans, whatever. I don't care. Hold the standard. Brian Iceman said fire church on a Monday night. And that really does encapsulate.
If you're not changing to that though, man, like honestly, like, listen, I'm not saying I need you to fly flags and do crazy, you know, all that stuff. But like, this is our society, man. Change. You got to change a little bit. Like, don't be so stuck in your ways where it's like, you know, I don't know, man. Like, being stubborn in the fire service, I feel like doesn't work. Like, I just feel like you got to adapt a little bit, man. Come on.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair because the world is changing, whether you like it or not. The world is changing.
Yes.
Now, how much is good? How much is bad? That's a great argument and a great debate to have over a cold, frosted, ice chilled red wine, you know, or insert whatever. But that's a great debate to have, but it's changing. And I don't want to lose the things that make the fire service great, the traditions and you know what I'm saying? I don't want to throw those out with the, you know.
But what makes the fire service great?
I'd say the people that are in it, but go ahead.
No, like, it's simple, right? Let's uphold our traditions, right?
Right.
Brotherhood, sisterhood, right? Our history.
I love it.
Right? Doing the job that we're taking care of each other. So, what does that mean? That means everybody's family is crazy, dude. Like, everybody has something going on in their families. You tell me your family's perfect?
No.
No, man.
No, you're right. You're right.
I mean, everywhere I go, my sister pulls a knife on somebody. And then my other sister's coming from the back trying to, you know, sucker punch that same person. Like, I dude, you don't want to fuck with my family. I'll tell you that right now. Like,
I'm sure that applies fire family or blood family.
Yeah. Now, you know, I don't know. I don't know if my fire family's going to be stabbing people on the side, but my older sister will. I'll tell you that right now.
No, I love it. And this is what I'll say. I say we exist so we can help people. That's the great thing about the fire. We exist so that on people's worst day, we can make a difference. And the cool part is, you call it cheesy, you call it whatever you want, but it goes back to backdraft and you go, we go. So we're here to help people.
Yeah.
And if you go, we go. You melt it down to that, man. That's what makes us great.
I love it.
So. I don't know if I want to meet your sister.
No, well, you do, but don't cross her though. I'll tell
don't
you.
Turn
that.
Your back. Yeah, I love it, Mike. All right, I think we ran through. I don't even know if we got how many of the actual planned questions did we get to. One.
I don't even know. I gotta get an iPod a pad dropped out of my ear. Hold on.
One or two. Are you switching hats again?
No, I'm going to switch hats, but I also. Dropped a little thingy out of my ear. There we go. I'm representing 765, the oldest formed union in Broward County. That's what I'm representing.
All right. That, brother, I love asking this question. book and books that you think firefighters should be reading.
Make Your Bed.
McRaven?
I think everybody heard his speech.
Yes.
But, dude, it's like the book's small, like my buddy Dean. But, and Matty Johnson, dude's like 101 pounds, dude. Like, I don't even, like, his gear and his SCBA weigh more than him. Like, it's crazy, man. But Matty taught me a lesson the other day.
Okay.
I don't know if I should say it. I actually told my wife the other day, and she called BS on it. For every 25 to 30 pounds you lose.
I don't know where this is going.
Oh, what? You gain an inch.
Right.
Yeah. You've heard this?
I've heard this before. I don't know if it's true. I've heard it before.
Well,
I don't
know. Hold on. Okay. Matty says it's true.
Then it's true.
But I don't want to see that little Irish thing. So Matty went from 1 inch to 2 inches, I think, is what happened to him. Maybe three, right? I mean, he's Irish.
I couldn't begin to guess. When you said, do you want me to bust chops or not? I was like, yeah, go for it. I'm not sure if I regret that decision yet or not. We'll see.
Well, you said it wasn't a comedy show, but here we are.
Be comfortable and be yourself. I think that would.
Yeah.
No, I love it. Kyle Duty said, that's 100% bigger. Awesome job, Maddie. So yeah. There you go. 100% improvement.
I need to lose 30 pounds. That's all I got to tell you.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt the cause. That's all I can say. we're at 200. Again, I'm telling you this. We're at 247 comments. I've been able to
read you. Jesus Christ, man.
I've read you like 35. So please go back at your own leisure and read them, because there's a lot of ball busting and a lot of people that you know that are making jokes that I'm not even able to touch on. So please understand.
You say Kyle Duty just made a comment?
He made a comment to Matty Johnson, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a modern-day 40-year guy. That's a guy that got hired like 8 to 10 years ago that should have been hired 40 years ago. Old soul, love him, just came on this job, and this is what we need. We need guys like a Kyle Duty, man, that just embrace it, embrace the brotherhood, the traditions, and like as an 8 or 9 year guy, this guy's mission is to make sure he carries on what's been passed down from generation to generation. Like, how do you find that in an 8 or 9 year guy?
Right.
And some bad traditions,
sure,
that I'm not proud of too, like getting into fights with our own guys at bars and concerts and things like that. But we learn from those things, right? So love you, Kyle. Thanks for coming in.
I love it. I love it. Okay. We have a thing we do on the weekly scrap. It's called the 5 Questions for Firefighters. It went on for quite some time, and then we updated it, and it became the next 5 Questions for Firefighters.
Okay.
You, Mike Salzano, are on the tail end of the next 5 Questions for Firefighters.
Oh, shit.
Because we're getting ready to update them, probably around number 200.
I think you should update them.
No, we do, because number 196 is where you're at. 200 is coming, and so that's probably where it's going to happen. But all that being said, are you ready? The answers are completely, like, there's no right or wrong. They're your opinions. And the points are arbitrary, assigned by me with the help of the audience, which you got a lot of people kind of pulling for you. I don't know.
Bro, there's no chance that I don't give 5 good answers.
All right.
I'm just going to throw it out there.
Zero chance. Okay. Audience is here to help out. Here we go. My question to you is, Mike Salzano, are you ready for the next 5 questions for firefighters?
No. Hold on.
All right. One more chilled red wine.
No, I'm doing a shot. Hold on.
Okay. One more shot. So I use the half years. I'm reading comments here.
I know JJ didn't do no damn shots. He was taking shots of what's those gummy bears that put you to sleep?
Wait, you said you didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it because I watched it for 3 minutes and I fell asleep.
That hurts my feelings a little bit.
I'll watch it. I'm sure it's good. Jesus Christ.
I'm busting balls. All right. Number one, what single characteristic makes the difference between a run-of-the-mill firefighter and a top-tier, go-to, badass firefighter?
This is a serious question.
It is number one of the next five questions for firefighters.
Did you come up with this question?
Well, I had some help.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, new hat.
That's good. God.
Cowboy time.
Come on. This is an easy answer, man. The cowboy mantra. That's it. What does it mean? Aggressive. Live out the cowboy mantra. If you want to be a cowboy, then you need to be a cowboy all the time in everything you do. You can't bitch about running calls. You can't bitch about doing work at the firehouse. You cannot bitch about anything. You got to be tough, resilient, and you got to be a badass, man, in everything we do. Otherwise, take the sticker off your truck. Stop wearing a shirt to Disneyland. Stop wearing a shirt every single day of your life. My wife makes me throw out all my fire shirts because I have way too many. But stop being a fraud if you're not going to be a professional fireman. That's it. There's your answer.
I'm waiting to say, holy shit. I'm serious. I love the answer. I love the answer with all my heart and soul. Yeah, there we go. I was hoping to see somebody besides me say max points. When you get max points with a prop, that might be the first time I've ever seen. And it was preaching the whole time and on point. So 100%, you want to be a cowboy? Do cowboy shit. What's cowboy shit mean? It's not just fire shit. It is taking care of business on the little shit, on the big shit. And that's like 14 shits. So, all right, number two. Dude, thank you for that. That was like a catharsis. If you could go back in time and give yourself one piece of advice as a rookie, what would it be?
One piece of advice. So, I had to think about this for a little bit. So when I came on a job, some of the older guys were like, hey, you know, kid, it's going to go by in a flash, man. 20 years are going to go by. You know, Steve Pritchard, mentor of mine, I'll never forget him just saying, you know, just cherish it. And, cause before you know it, you're the senior guy. And, you know, at the time, I'm like, ah, whatever, old man, you know, what do you know? And so I think, listen to the old guys, man. They obviously been around. You know, I know the culture is shifting a little bit where we don't want to listen to our senior. But like, dude, these guys know, man. And I guess now I'm that guy. Cause damn, it went by quick, dude. Like, I still feel young. I'm young at heart. But dude, it went by quick. So cherish it, memorialize it, especially with today's technology. it's funny, a quick story. I got hired in the St. Lucie County Fire District. There's probably a couple of St. Lucie guys on here. Man, there's some hardcore firemen there. Jimmy Meyer, Lucy, Jenny Grima. There's some good firefighters over there. That's where I came up. And, you know, I don't know where this came from, but I started writing down every run when I got hired there. And I came to Lauderdale and I was like doing it. And I don't know who said, like, hey, man, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. I keep track of every run. I still have the book over here too. It's funny. I looked at it the other day. They're like, good luck with that, kid. Well, that shit, he was right. Whoever said that to me, that shit lasted like fucking 12 weeks, dude. Like, I couldn't keep up when we first got hired down there. It was ridiculous. But my point is, like, I tried to take as many pictures as I can. And, man, looking back, we lost so many guys, and you know, suicide and cancer, and you know, it's just, it's nice to look back and capture some of what makes this job so great. So, you know, if I can say anything, because I still don't look at myself as an old guy. I don't. I got 24 years on. I still call people sir. I still love showing up. I just don't. I refuse to. I'm not an old guy. I'm not. Fuck you guys. I'm just not. I don't give a fuck what you tell me. I'm still a young guy. My wife's still hot. Like, we still go and do things. We have fun. We go to parties. But I just capture it. That's my advice. Don't let it go as quick as I was told it was going to go.
Holy shit, Mike, dude. Yeah, Mark alone said all the fucking points, dude. And there's so many people saying Max point. Here's the deal. You downshifted so hard from a rock and roll cowboy aggressive mindset on answer question number one to gut punching me in the diaphragm where I can't breathe while you talk about I'm not that old, dude. 100% max points on number two.
Now, actually, it's funny. Dude, the guys fuck with me so bad, man. I think I'm up to like four fucks or so. I feel like I could beat anybody at anything. Like, I don't, like, from Madden football on the thing to, like, just name it, dude. But there's one thing I will challenge anybody. I will get to the front. I'm a chief officer now. I will get to the front door with a hose line, get it charged, be masked up before almost everybody I compete against.
Love it,
I'll put
bro.
That challenge out there.
Hold the line.
Let's go.
That's the standard. You set the standard. I don't even know. Yeah, Sam says, should we institute double points? Mike Fatigue said he's definitely drunk now. I don't care. I'm loving it. If that's the case, yeah. I'm getting my notes back up so I can remember the five questions I have to ask. Number three, what? And I think, man, almost unfair, but what is your favorite training drill?
I already said it, dude.
I know. That's why I said. But yeah. I can't just skip a question of the five questions.
You're the host. You can do whatever you want.
Facts, but.
It's the thing, you know, the drill. Mask up,
the drill,
the pre-connect, get to the door, like, oh, you know, come on. That's it.
The fact that I didn't even catch that it was the first one. So you got, okay, easy. Easy max points for that. Number four, what mistake have you learned the most from?
Oh, boy.
I love it. I already love it. In your fire service career?
Whew. I had to ask my wife this. I'm like, babe, I don't know how to answer this question. I feel like I haven't made many mistakes in my career. You know what she said? Drinking too much and getting to fights at the bar. That's what she told me. So, you know, listen, follow your heart, is something I'll tell you. And I'll probably go on for the tangent here, but, I followed my heart back in, 2002, I think. I got hired in the FDNY. I actually got hired in the FDNY, October 14, 2001. 100% was going to take that job. Who wouldn't a month after 9/11?
Right.
You know, me and my now wife were dating for, I think, like 6 months at the time. And I had, when I took the test, I was a fireman down here, but I used my grandmother's address up in Queens. And they're like, oh, you know, you're a fireman. Like, oh, what are you doing? So they took 5 points away from me and they dropped me, like, which I still don't understand. Like, dude, I'm a fireman that's, wants to come work for you, like, gives a fuck. It's a month after 9/11. Like, are you kidding me at this point? You know, you're going to drop me 2,000 spots. Honestly, it's probably the best thing that ever happened to me, though. I couldn't picture, you know, I really couldn't, I couldn't picture a life without these guys that I'm with. Like, you know, these guys are everything. My guys are my guys, man. Like, you know, I don't give a shit if it's the best fire department in the world, you know. I'm glad I stayed here. You know, and ended up getting called back a couple of times in 03. And, you know, me and the wife made a decision to stay here, and it was a great decision, you know. But, you know, I think to answer the question, but, you know, I did a lot of things in the beginning of my career, that were for everybody else. Everybody. Like, I was a union rep with 3 years on the job. Everything I did was always for everybody else. So I would say, you know, just stop once in a while and think about yourself and your family. 'Cause it took me, you know, almost 24 years now to think about that. Recently, for me, you know, we have a brand new fire chief. We have new leadership in the organization that's headed in such a great place.
Good, good.
Yeah, man. I was tabbed with, I was a chief of training and brought to fire administration. And basically, the fire chief said, you're the next deputy chief of operations. And, like, you don't get that opportunity. You truly don't. Like, who gets that opportunity? And it, like, and this is from a guy that all I've said my whole career is like, dude, I'm not my whole career, like the last like 5 or 6 years when I became a chief, like, dude, if I can do anything, I want to be a chief of operations. Like, who wouldn't
right.
be?
Right.
Like, come on.
It's solid.
Yeah. And
I love it. I love it. I love it.
And here I am now, you know, given that opportunity by a phenomenal fire department, a progressive fire chief, that wants me in that position. And, I turned it down. I turned it down. It's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And, I've been doing the job for 6 months. The deputy chief now is leaving in a couple of months. I was supposed to take his place. And, I finally recognized that it just wasn't right for my family. It wasn't right for me. The timing wasn't right. You know, as great of an opportunity as it is, you know, I was basically about to do it for all the wrong reasons. Which none of them equated to me being happy. I'm happy at a firehouse right now. I'm happy leading men and women. I'm happy going to fires. And that's what I needed in my life. And I knew that. But we all struggle sometimes, right? 'Cause we see the shiny badge and the promotions and, you know, the ego drives us so far sometimes.
Right on.
Right. And power, you know, I can make change and I can be involved in. And then what drove me, I'll tell you what drove me, is taking care of the guys, protecting the guys. Taking care of the union I just left as a principal officer, who we fought so many years and years and years trying to get an admin that would understand us and work with us. But none of those reasons ended with me being happy. And it took me 24 years to finally man up and make that decision for me and my family and for my last 8 years, because I'm going in a drop here.
Dude, easy max point. And understand that, like, now we're at 331 comments, just to keep you posted on where it's at. So, and I haven't read a comment in the last 20 minutes. So understand there's like hundreds of comments you need to go back and read at your leisure. But understand max points 100%. It's the problem with the American Fire Service is where you need to be doesn't, it encourages firefighters to stop at a certain level, and then please take this the right way, because it's baked into our system that at a certain point firefighters quit promoting, so who promotes? And then we look back and say, what the fuck happened to the American Fire Service? So anyway, that's a completely separate conversation.
I just want everybody to understand that one lesson I learned early on: be careful what you wish for. Old lieutenant told me that. I remember being at the firehouse, and we're going, oh, I want a fire, I want a fire. Oh, we don't have enough fire. And we got a fire, and it was a kid that got burnt up. Mm. It was one of the worst fires of my career, pulling a kid out that's burnt up. And we struggled from that fire, and he didn't say it. He didn't have to say it to us. Be careful what you wish for. But with that being said, sometimes what you think you want is not what will make you happy. I always thought I wanted to be the chief of operations in the last 6-7 years. But don't cloud yourself with badges and bugles, and you need to really figure out what happiness means to you individually. And it's a struggle to do that. I'm not patting myself on the back, but I don't know many people that were turned down. For me, it was a double promotion. I'm going to assistant chief and immediately being promoted to deputy. But dude, nothing replaces happiness. And it's a longer story, but I'm grateful for my fire department, my fire chief, for giving me that opportunity. They're going to do great things with or without me.
Right.
And, the biggest thing for me is looking back. I'm like, yo, when 9 or 10 years comes and I'm gone, will I look back at the last quarter of my career and will it have been a great time? And the answer was going to be no. And the sad part of the fire service, and back to one of my chiefs who was my mentor, take a glass of water, right? You've heard this, Corley. Fill it up, put your finger in. As soon as you take your finger out, what happens to the water?
He doesn't even notice it's gone.
It goes back, it replaces where.
Yeah.
That's the fire service. 3 minutes later, you're gone. They move on. The fires are going out.
Tones keep dropping.
Right? Tones keep dropping. Calls keep going. Shit keeps happening. Mm-hmm. Right? We get so caught up in ourselves that we think we are more important than the bigger mission. We're not. We're not. We're replaceable. Make your mark. Make your legacy. Dude, you better be able to sleep at night knowing you left the legacy in the fire service that you're proud of. Because if you didn't, you're a shitbag. All right? But leave your legacy. Leave your legacy. Be able to sleep on your legacy. But know you're replaceable.
Sorry, I had to timestamp that one. That was really solid, brother. Are we wiping it out?
I drank the whole bottle.
All right. We still got one question to go.
Go, bring it.
It is the original question. It is the de facto question that will never go away.
And it wait, is, hold on. Because I went off on a fucking tangent there. So there's a couple of points I got to make on that last question, though. Are you going to give me liberties?
100%. Go ahead.
One of the biggest things I think that we need to do as men, as officers, I don't give a shit if you're a fireman. Learn from your mistakes. Own up. When the wife said, don't get drunk and get into fights, that was only a year ago, dude. No chief officer should be fighting dudes in your union bar. Like, that's not good. But I think where I feel like the most important part of that lesson is, man, be humble. Like, own up after that shit, dude. I feel like you need to own up. When you make specifically personal mistakes, like, you need to own up, dude. Like you need to accept your mistakes, apologize, be genuine. There, I feel like there, like if I could say one of the biggest things I learned in my entire career and just growing up as a man in the fire service, if you can apologize and be genuine, dude, there's no better feeling. There really isn't.
Brother, you're pretty. I agree with you 100%. Like when you can say, if someone can be legitimately authentic and say, "I'm sorry, I did that," how can people hold that against you? If you're authentic,
I agree.
no, I it just disarms everything. It's when you're like, "I'm sorry, you felt offended." No, that's not an apology. That's not authentic. F you. You know what I'm saying? So. Anyway, yeah, I don't know the whole circumstances or anything. I'm not there, but I'm just making my commentary. You got max points, 4 for 4. There's one question to go. Number
Let's
five,
go.
heavy fire,
Bro,
searchable.
stop. Don't, like, seriously.
You're the engine guy. This is like a dumb question, but I'm still gonna ask the question. Heavy fire, searchable space. Would you rather be assigned to the nozzle or first in on VES?
This is the dumbest question in the history of the fire service.
That hurts my soul. This is the question I keep asking year in, week in, week out.
Bro, you got to redo this question, bro.
This is the one that's here forever.
No, stop. Stop. Stop, bro. Stop. All right, first things first.
Okay.
You know what's cool about this question? Is for all the little writ nerds. You didn't ask, would you rather be first in writ? You didn't ask that. Because nobody in the history of the goddamn fire service has wanted to be the first in writ company. No, it's just never gonna happen. I'm sorry, Rob Ramirez. We went to medic school. You failed out. You finally got back in. You passed. You got hired in the fire department. I love you to death. You're the greatest instructor I've ever met. However, nobody's ever wanted to be the RIT company at a fire. Newsflash. Awkward silence. So, you know how I know that this is the easiest question you've ever answered, asked? What did Bob Pressler answer? You remember?
You'll have to refresh me.
Oh, I got to refresh you on your show?
There's been a few of them.
Not a few Bob Presslers.
That's true. That's a fact.
You're right, though. I'll give you the slack. You got 196. So Bob Pressler was a Truckee in Brooklyn. He was a Rescue 3 guy. He's a fellow FDTN guy, one of the best of the best, right? Guy's probably been to more fires than I could ever imagine. And he's right up there in, honestly, if you want to see the Mount Rushmore of the fire service, just go to FDTN.
That's hard to argue.
Like Mike Lombardo, Timmy Klett, Bob Pressler, Jim McCormick, Sandy Lassa. Like they're I don't how many I don't even know how many heads are in Mount Rushmore.
There's four. There was more
Is this
scheduled, but
four?
yeah.
Well, we're gonna make five because Sandy Lassa needs to be five. Have you had him on the show?
Not yet. Not yet.
Well, he needs to
Absolutely.
Needs
Yeah.
to, like, you're talking about one of the, not only the best of the best men I've ever met in my entire life, but probably one of the best firemen I've ever met in my life. Boston fireman, Rescue One. I'll let him speak for himself, but I love that guy. And for everybody listening, if you haven't been up there, and I got no stake in the game here. That is the magic kingdom of the fire service. Like, again, I've learned more in my life in the last 4 years teaching up there than I have in my entire career. It the place is unbelievable. But
I'm 100%. I'm a huge fan of FDTN, which brings me back to heavy fire, searchable space. Would you rather? You talked about RIT, which I don't know where RIT came into the question, but would you rather?
Because it's not even a part of the question.
Would you rather be assigned to the nozzle or first in on VES?
Thank you for bringing us back. Bob Presser, truck guy, said nozzle. Come on, guys. Like, come on. Who's listening right now? It's the nozzle. If you think anybody else wants to do the other stuff, you guys are out of your minds. Like, what planet are you guys in to think searching through an entire house so you hopefully find a body and can bring him out and be the hero at Medals Day is the best job in the fire service. The nozzle, putting the fire out, no acclaim, no news fucking shit. That's the best job in the fire service. It's hands down. You just had a truckie, a rescue guy from FDNY, say it. Like, you shouldn't even ask this question anymore. It's a simple question.
I asked the question only because I like to hear the justification and the reasons behind.
That's bro, if you're a fireman and you don't want to be in the nozzle and put the fire out, go get another job.
I'm waiting to see the responses. I'm reading the responses. I'm not sure it was. And Robert Ramirez said, can we just stop giving him points? That might be the best part of it, the whole thing. First do engine equals support the search. Stephanie Rosario said, you're drunk because you're wrong. I
taught her in the fire academy. She should stop.
100%. There it is. The next five questions for firefighters, according to Mike Salzano. And with that officially makes it 196 scraps in the books, over 2 hours. Dude, I can't. Shit. No doubt, brother. No doubt. What an amazing evening. Please, if someone wants to get a hold of you, ask you questions, send you emails, whatever, what's the best way to do that?
954-650-1741 or Turk, T-U-R-K, 765 and ME.com.
There you go. There you go. Everybody, go to firehousevigilance.com if you want to be a part of the Vigilantes, which is the exclusive cool kids club. It's $5 a month. It's $60 a year. You can do monthly membership. You can do a yearly. All the cool kids are doing it. Plus, you get access to the after party, which is about to happen because we're about to wrap up the scrap, and then we go to the after party. So I'm getting ready to, when we close this out, I'm going to post a link, and then you get to come in and tell Mike what you thought of the scrap, because he said he was going to hang out for a few minutes and talk to the vigilantes. okay,
I feel like after tonight, though, I should be grandfathered into this vigilante group.
Absolutely. I'm not going to lie. There's a lot of people posting emails to reach you at. You want me to read you some of them?
Sure. GoFuckYourself.com.
You're right on. Mike Bloomberg said www.clownpenis.sally.
I love it.
That's pretty good. Kyle Duty said Mike Salzano at Fort Lauderdale Men's Club.com.
That's a gay club next to the firehouse. Respectable place.
I didn't know it was a real thing.
It is.
There's more of them, but you'll have to go and read.
I'll go look.
And Robert Ramirez says, just when we needed Cordy's internet to do what it does, it decides to work perfectly all night for this guy.
Why would it not? Come on. There's nobody better. Come on. The internet has to work better.
You are getting your shoes like completely busted. No doubt about it. Please take your time at your leisure because we're over 400 comments. Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Dude, you earned it. So there we go. episode 200 is coming up very fast. 4 weeks from now, 200 is coming. There's a lot of hype about
it. Kurt's going to yell at people.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. Before you have next week, Anthony Avillo, then Ryan McCormick, and for $199, Clark Lamping. So we got three awesome scraps. And then, of course, Kurt coming back for number 200. We're going to try and break the internet again. 2023 has been amazing. Vigilantes, I'm about to post a link. As soon as we go offline, I'm going to post a link in the Vigilantes so you guys can start logging in. My brother, Mike Salzano. Dude, I hope you had as much fun as I did, because I my cheeks are actually hurting from the smiles and the laughter.
Had a blast, bro.
Awesome, man. I really do think that it brought value. I really do. As much I said it's not a comedy show, but I think you really tried to push that envelope and say, no, it is.
Well, so for the preface of the audience, I did. What did I text you today?
You had quite a bit of questions. You said whiskey or wine. That was one of
the things. Ask you that. And then right. I said, listen, I'm going to bust some balls.
Right.
And are you okay with that? You said, all right. Well, it's not a comedy club, but you be you.
You be you.
Well, I think I got a whole bottle of wine.
I think I got that.
And I think drank a good amount of this little, how you doing here? So.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, man, thanks for having me.
Brother, I really can't. I would get serious and quit smiling so much.
Yeah.
It's hard to do while I'm talking to you. But 100%, man, I appreciate you sharing your evening with us and sharing your evening with the audience and adding value to the fire service. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you, brother.
The audience, I can't thank you enough for being here, asking questions, busting the guest chops 100%. Yeah, Garrett Pingle said, I think only Mike's friends were watching. It's not true, but.
Well, I guess I got 400 friends.
Yeah, you got a lot of friends. They definitely sent the comments. Vigilantes, I'll post the link as soon as it goes offline. My brother, Mike Salzano, thank you for sharing your evening with me. The audience, thank you, every one of you, for asking awesome questions, for being engaged. You guys, you make the scrap magical, and I appreciate you so much. Thank you for tuning in live. I love you all. Remember, mutts don't scrap. I hope the tones stay silent unless it is burning. Everybody stay safe out there.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly Scrap. Please subscribe and please share. We'll see you at the next episode.